Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good. And all the time, we also know, hold to, and live the three realities that the Lord has given us through the three commands that sum up all of the scriptures: to love God, love others, and go. For as we follow this example, that is the example of Christ, so too will we find the purpose of life, and in that, life abundant. Today, we're going to be continuing. Yet last week, I spoke on the thought of discernment and delusion, because there is so much in our world that is going on that just seems baffling in our minds. The things that folks are doing one to another, the lawsuits that pop up, and just the idiocy of all things. And one of the things that I wanted us to understand, that in living a discerning life, it's understanding God's transformative love and how God's transformative love truly interacts with our lives and makes our life a better life, and it makes us a better person, because we will live differently than the world. For we are not of the world, but we are in the world. So that means we have our being here, but we're to be an example of someplace else. Okay? It's like I've often told other folks, when my son would go to their house and visit. How many of you have ever witnessed this? They act 10 times better than they do when they're in your own house. My son would stay overnight with one of his buddies from school, and we'd go to pick him up, and they'd say, "Oh, your son is such a pleasure. He was picking this up and putting that away." And I'm like, "What? Are we talking about the same kid here?" Okay? So it's amazing, because that's the way we're to live in this world, because we are called to be something different. We are to be different because we are called to be Christian. And what does that look like? And how does it work out? Well, I'm not going to say this is it, but this is part of it. So turn in your scriptures with you, if you would, with me to James chapter 1. We're going to begin in James, and we're going to start in chapter 1. And we're going to go from 2 through 12. And of course, you know me when I'm doing my Bible teaching on a Sunday morning, because we all know pastor does not have the words of life. Only Jesus has the words of life. And they are given to us in the scriptures. And to those scriptures we turn. So today, let us turn to the word of God. For thus saith the word of the Lord. From the second verse in the first chapter of the book of James, we read these words. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, when we understand those words, what does it mean to understand? When we come under those words, when we begin to bring those words into our lives and make them a reality, I have to ask you a question. How many of you are doing very, very, very well with considering it all joy when we suffer all types of trials and afflictions? Boy, I love you folks. You're so honest. Nobody raised a hand. Because we don't, do we? We're human. We are on this side of getting it right. Progressive sanctification is a work in us. And each and every one of us understands that we're going to have difficulties in this life. We're going to have, you know, various kinds of trials. We're going to have encounters of suffering, times of question. But the point of it is, Jesus is asking us, are you going to be trained up by it? Or are you going to be a victim of it? And that's the problem with our world today. Our world looks at it as they're a victim. And it's so funny, because I often try to think of illustrations of what I'm trying to get across to you. And today, as I was speaking with the guys upstairs getting ready for service and going over the little things that we do up here for the service and laying out the scriptures and songs and different things that I want them to do, one of the questions or one of the comments that came up was, one of the brothers said that at a church there was a shooting, And you know, this is our world. I'm dealing on real stuff here. There was a shooting. A man in the congregation pulled out a shotgun, killed two people. But one of the congregants stood up, pulled a gun, and shot the man dead. Okay? Welcome to our world. The horrible thing is, two people in the congregation sued the gentleman that shot and killed the assailant. One because they fired a gun in front of a child in the church, and the other because they lost some hearing in their ear because they shot the man and killed him. Now you tell me, what is wrong with our world today? Here's a gentleman just saved a whole congregation. Two people lost their lives, and then the assailant was taken out by someone responsible within the church, and we're going to sue that man. Trials are going to come your way, and brothers and sisters, they're going to come from the church. They're going to come from very people in the church. Because how many of us got it perfect thus far? No. And we need to understand that we need to learn and put ourselves under the Word of God. Because as we begin to understand and come into and under the Word of the Lord, we begin to understand that there is so much more that God wants us to see, to know, and to understand. Because when we come under that wisdom, when we come under those things, we get trained up by them. Because the testing of our faith produces what? Endurance. That we'll be able to make it through the things that come our way. When we allow the difficulties to be there, understanding that we are not to be a victim of it, but to learn through it. That's called wisdom, and we're going to look at that here in just a moment. But what does the endurance do? What does going through the trial do? If we go through the trial fully, if we go through these things in a manner of being a student rather than a victim. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. Keep a tag there and turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. We're going to be in chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 7. Because God does not leave us in ignorance. God wants us to understand what's going on, the process that he has for us. And this is just one. I only picked out two of the small verses that look at what's going on when we go through this time of testing and trial that is going to bring us to the face of seeing God's transformative love. Because God wants to transform us. He says from verse 7 in 1 Peter, in verse 7, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than the gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So dear brothers and sisters, what he's telling us there is as our faith is being proved out, as we are going through these trials and temptations, God is allowing us to be molded into the image of his son, that we would literally be the glory of God. For Jesus did not even complain when they put him on the cross, did he? How many of us go through life and don't complain about any inflictions that come upon us? We just say, such is life, and we carry on. Well, you know that's what's going to happen anyway, so why are you going to plague yourself and come against it when we understand that God wants to teach us something? So while I'm down here, is my attitude going to be, woe is me, or is your attitude going to be, Lord, what do you want me to see? What do you want me to gain through this experience? And I'm going to tell you right now, when you do that, and I'm still work in process too. I mean, I'm being as honest as I can be up here. It is going to make you look at what's going on and try to understand, where is this individual that's bringing me through this, that's bringing this stuff to me? And yet at the same time, in the instance that I used to begin, praise God, there was a gentleman in the congregation that had enough cognitive thought to end that situation. Can we say amen? Because we've got to be able to keep our wits about us in all things. If we simply become a victim, we're going to be overridden. But when we have the understanding of what it means to gain faith and to walk in these things and see the transformative love of God, we're able to respond to the situations of life rather than react. Because reactionary is about me. Being responsible is looking at the larger picture and taking moves to get something to the place where it needs to be, to have it end, okay? And end well. How many of us think about how is this going to end and end well when you're in the middle of something? You just want it to end now at all cost. And the reality is the cost is the lack of wisdom. And that's what Jesus wants us to understand. We've got to go through this because it's a process. Turn to Romans 5. I want you to see the process. Again, like I said, I'm just pulling out small portions of Scripture here because I don't want to dwell on it all day, but I want us to understand God has a way for us, and He speaks to us throughout the Scriptures on these things. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. That's where we're going to be. And again, keeping your bookmark there in James because we're going to be coming back. Because as we move through this transformativeness that God is trying to allow us to see, to receive from Him, that is to lean on Him and gain His understanding, this is what He says to us from the third verse. From the third verse of the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, it says, "Not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom He has given us." When we allow God's work to come upon us, that we are beginning to receive this transformative love, all of a sudden we begin to gain something even more, and it builds unto hope. When all we do is turn to being a victim, we have no hope. We're a victim. Somebody else has got to save us. The reality is, how many of us know who our Savior is? Yeah, I got heads nodding at me. We know who our Savior is. Our Savior is Jesus Christ. Whether we live or die, our Savior is Jesus Christ. But in this life, He wants us to have wisdom so that we may build these things of perseverance, of proven character, and of hope. How do we gain that? Let's turn back to the book of James. In the book of James, from the fifth verse, we read these words. "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Now, that's one verse. We're going to look at the rest of it here because it tells us a whole lot about what's coming after, but we need to grasp just how wide, how high, and how marvelous wisdom is unto us. Because wisdom is not just acquiring information, but it is practical insight with spiritual implications, okay? You've often heard me say, and if you were with me and we were at that, when we were down at NCCS, written on the cafeteria wall, it says, "Wisdom is knowing a tomato is not a vegetable. Knowledge is knowing you don't put it in a fruit salad." So you've got to know what to do with wisdom. You've got to know where to appropriate it and how to utilize it. And how do you gain that insight? By going through the trials and temptations, by going through the things of life and literally turning to God for understanding. Because understanding is much more, wisdom is much more than just gaining knowledge, but it's learning how to live in that knowledge and what it brings to you. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. Again, keep a finger in James. Proverbs chapter 2. As we look into Proverbs, we're going to see A portion. Again, I can't give it all to you in one sitting. In one feeding, I cannot give it all to you. But we're going to work these things out over the years, over the weeks, over the days that we live our lives and have our being in Christ Jesus. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 10 and we're going to read through 15. He says to us from the word of the Lord, "For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discernment will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways." Now, what I just read to you is a blueprint, isn't it? Wait a minute. Wisdom gives me, if I apply wisdom, gives me discretion, understanding, knowledge. Those are the spiritual implications. That as we allow these things in our lives to truly transform us, that we're no longer a victim, but we are a victor, that we can get through these things and that we can grow in response to them with wisdom, knowledge, and the ability to walk in righteousness, that we become people of discernment, okay, which is discretion. Because discretion will guard you. You're not going to find yourself falling into this trap of trial again because you know how you got there. So you're going to avoid that trap. How many of us, we practice insanity. We keep doing the same thing and expect different results. That doesn't get you anywhere but down the same road, okay? When you see that pothole, you know, and it's funny because we all know potholes. We live in Pennsylvania, right? We all know potholes. Pothole starts out in, generally it's about mid-January, the potholes start breaking out, and it's just a little thing. And then in February, you know, it's a little bit of a bother, and yeah, man, I gotta watch that pothole. And then comes March, and the next thing you know, you're blowing a tire out on it. And then comes April, and it takes the front end out of your car. Well, the reality is, why do you keep driving over the thing? Take another road. You know the pothole's there. Either that or get out and fill it up. But in life, don't we just keep doing that? We just keep driving the same road and expecting somebody else to fix it, and it's not going to happen. Why? Because we have one Savior, and He is Jesus Christ, and He wants us to be transformed by His love and to learn a new way, to try something different. How many of you would like to try something different that might make you a better person, might make your life just a little bit easier? And all of a sudden you realize, wow, this Jesus, man, He really does work. He's made, I understand now. Wow. I can go a different direction and still get to the same place. But I have to choose the right way to get there. And that right way is Jesus Christ. For He is the truth, He is the way, and He is the life. And as we allow Him to transform us, as we allow His work to work on us, and we begin the process of this growth in transformative love, He begins to work in our hearts in such a way that the things that used to we would run away from, we actually don't run away from them anymore because we know what to do with them when they get here. And then when we see somebody else going through the same situation, we feel a whole lot more comfortable and confident to walk with them to help them get through it. You see, we're not supposed to go through this stuff just on our own, but to also be there for others who are going through similar situations. How many of you have ever looked at your life and realized that the very things that afflict you and you've had some success over, those very types of people that go through that same stuff are the ones that come around you? It's like, I got my own problems, let me alone. No. God wants us to be a comforter to others. Who dwells in us? The comforter. And he wants us to be a comforter to others. He's just doing his own nature. And his nature is becoming more, and we are becoming less. Do you see how this works for discretion and understanding and knowledge? Because we begin to exemplify God, and all of a sudden, we're doing the very things God wants us to do. We're learning wisdom. Wow, you mean I have wisdom? Yeah. As you are going through these things and you understand, which means to come under the Word of God, now you have an insight that you can pass on to someone else. But that doesn't mean we come at them with, you know, the old Bible thumper method. We come at them the way Jesus came at us, with love and understanding, with long suffering. Because I'll guarantee you, it's taken us a while to get to this point. It's going to take others a while to get to that point. Because God's transformative love is not something that hits you once and says, you didn't get it, I'm leaving. He sticks around, doesn't he? And he says, okay, you know, let's try this again. I'll dust you off again and we can get started again. Do you want to go through this again? He'll ask, how many of you know God asked, do you want to go through this again? And a lot of us say, yes. But it'll come to the point where we say, no, I don't want to. Show me something new, Lord. That's called wisdom. And that wisdom brings with it all these aspects that teach us a new way. And in that way, we become the men and women of Jesus Christ. And in growing in Christ, now all of a sudden, things start to become clear. Let's look back at James, because with some discernment even this day, it's understanding how we gain this. Because this is something that, this is the only place in Scripture that I know of that literally gives us this truth. And I want us to understand, you know, I am not a speak it and claim it pastor, okay? Yes, I believe that if the Holy Spirit is moving in you and he tells you to release something from heaven and there are other people in agreement with it, I'm going to tell you right now, God's going to do a work. Can I get an amen from the church? But it is not a, you know, I want to win the lottery, so I'm going to name it and claim it, and I'm going to go buy $1 million worth of lottery tickets and lose everything. Because that's what a lot of people do in life. We play that hope card, but it's not the hope in Jesus Christ. It's not the hope that is sure. It is the hope that is a blank package sitting over here. We have no idea what's inside it, but I'm going to call it this. And when you open it, how many of you have ever done that? You wanted the Nintendo for Christmas, and you opened it up, and you got a Game Boy. I'm going to tell you right now, when I was 5 years old, the fact that I got something would have been enough for me. I want you to think about that. You know, we lived in a different age and era when I was a young lad. And today, it's, man, if you don't get the exact thing on the, I want the Barbie doll with the purple hair and the raspberry nails. And man, if you don't get it, there's heck to pay at home on Christmas morning. I can remember being happy with an orange and a chocolate bar from Grandma and Grandpa, because that was all Grandma and Grandpa could afford. And I'll guarantee you, we only got oranges at Christmas. So I really look forward to that orange at Christmas. I know that stuff sounds stupid, but let's look at what this word says to us when it comes to gaining this. It says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. When we understand what is being said here, when we realize that God is telling us you can get wisdom, but you have to act in faith. That means you must believe by faith that God is going to teach you. That means you are stopping, you are looking around, you're taking the time that is necessary to investigate before you move forward. So many people in this world, we will pray, well, Lord, grant me wisdom. Well, guess what? He's not going to give you what you want. He's going to give you what you need. Can I get an amen out of the church? You know, we want this. And when we don't get that, and we wonder where our kids get it from, we have a tissy fit. We get all upset with God. We get all upset with everybody else. And God says, no, I want to teach you something. Sit here with me a while. How many of you know pain doesn't go away quickly? There's a reason for it, because God wants to train us up. So that means if we're going to act in faith, that means we have to actually expect to learn something and not just have it be given to us. How many of you enjoyed going to school for the 12 years that you went to school? I think it's amazing. I don't see one hand up in here. How many of you enjoyed recess? Yeah. Why 12 years in school? That's not fair. That's 12 years of my life I'll never get back. It's 12 years because it takes that long to train a child up. In fact, it takes longer than that. I'm 63 and I'm still learning. And I am a child of God. And that's one of the things that I need to understand. This is going to take some time. I may have to go around this mountain for 40 years. Y'all get the Bible? Took them a while to learn, didn't it? In fact, some of them didn't learn. They had to die before they could go into the land. We all know the story. And sometimes, because we're not willing to learn, that's what happens. Because those people, they didn't learn. They were those double-minded people. They walked through the Red Sea, didn't they? They saw the Ten Commandments come down off of the mountain and the land open up and swallow the people that were disobedient, didn't they? They saw Pharaoh's army get destroyed, didn't they? Did they learn anything? No. Because they didn't believe. They didn't act in faith. They acted in impulse, in their needs. But when we act in faith, and I love it, how can we prove that? Who went into the land? Jacob? Or no, not Jacob, Caleb. And Joshua went into the land because they believed by faith that they could go in and possess the land, didn't they? In fact, Caleb said, yeah, there are giants in the land. Send me to the worst spot because I'm going to take them out in the name of the Lord. And 40 years later, he got his wish when they went into the land. Did he succeed? Yeah. But he had to go through the 40 years too. And in those 40 years, when it was time, he was fully prepared. And they went in and they took it out. You and I are going to have to take time with this, but we need to believe by faith. Because if we don't, what we have, now I'm going to use another parable here, even what we have will be taken away from us and given to another. And then we'll be thrown out where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We all know that parable, or at least most of us do. It's understanding. This is what God's talking about here. Because when you're a double-minded person and you're not willing to go through the training and understand, and you're going to play this game of asking for wisdom, and then when you don't get what you want, but you're getting what you need, and you're refusing God, because that's exactly what that means. You understand you're refusing God. He's going to say, okay, you get what you want, which is going to be more frustration because you're not acting in faith. You're trying to tell me what to do rather than submitting to me. and allowing me to teach you and raise you up. And when I say me, you know I'm not talking about Pastor Rich. You know I'm talking about the Lord. And then he goes on from there. And he tells us that as we begin to work this stuff out, here are some of the things that we're going to see. He says, but the brother of humble circumstance, from verse 9, the brother of humble circumstance is to glory in his high position. And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation. Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. As you and I understand this and we begin to apply wisdom to it, those of us who are of humble circumstance, those of us who see ourselves as less, we realize that we are receiving the kingdom of God. And we're to act and respond in a manner that says, folks, this is where I live in this world, but you wait to see what's coming to me in the next. And I'm going to glory in that, and that is my hope. Because how many of us are longing for the things of this earth or the things of the next place? Because I'll guarantee you, I am here to do the greatest work I can to get others to that next place. Can I get an amen, church? Including myself, because I'm still a work in progress. But my hope is to bring others with me. And therefore, even as the rich man has it all on this side and everybody wants to accumulate what they have, they're the Joneses that we all look up to and say, oh, I'd like to be like the Joneses. The Joneses need to keep themselves in humble rapport and understand that all the things that they have are going to be taken away from them. But even they are going to receive a glory on the other side that far exceeds everything they have. But if you put all your hope in that stuff on this side, how much are you going to have on the other side? That's one of the things that I love. A person of humble means be there to help others as best you can. And for those who are wealthy, those who God has blessed, God's given you the ability to make that stuff happen. Because I hate to tell us all this, but on this side of the grave, some of us aren't responsible with money. How many of us are good stewards? You know, we like to say we are. But the reality is, if we're given the druthers in this world, we'll squander some things, won't we? God's not going to put temptation before us. In fact, that's verse 13. We're not going to verse 13. Because when I go through this, there's a lot of people that say, well, that means God's tempting me. No. God is using the things of this world to teach you something. He's not bringing the temptation, but he's going to allow the temptation to teach you something if you're going to allow it, if you're going to walk with him. Otherwise, you're not going to learn anything, and you're going to be like the double-minded man, and you're going to be cast away. You'll be shipwrecked, as to speak. But if we glory in the Lord, even though on this earth the things pass away, and I love the contrast here, because how many of us know when we get to glory, nothing fades? I mean, think about it. You pluck a rose in glory, it's a rose for the rest of eternity, because in eternity there is no death. What happens if you pluck a rose here on this side? How soon is it that it wilts? Are you gaining wisdom here? I'm talking spiritual things in a very physical world. We need to understand God's transformative love is taking that we here on this side are that perishable rose, that if we are ripped out, we're going to wither and die. But in Christ Jesus, we're a different being, and we will continue forever. So even when it feels like you're being ripped out, remember to whom you have been planted, and you will bloom forever. That's the God we serve, and that's the God we hold to. But from verse 11, we hear these words. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass. Its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. But blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You see, folks, God's transformative love through all these trials and tribulations, looking at our lives and understanding, he wants us to be discerning. He wants us to grow in wisdom and then learn to navigate this life in a different way. That as we accept his transformative love, he transforms our position. That we are no longer people of death, but now we are crowned with life. Even now, on this side of the grave. Because as it says in verse 11, the wind blows and scorches. What's that talking about? Everybody's going to die. We're all going to leave this earth. Lest the rapture, how many of you are waiting for that? Yeah. And I think it's getting close. But until that day, we need to be that work in process. We need to be, or in progress, we need to be understanding that we are no longer those of a lowly estate, but we are that rich man because we see our position in the after, not just now, because we live a life in both worlds. Yes, we're here, but we also understand where we're going and what's given to us. So we truly are a wealthy people, and I pray a wise people, not only receiving the transformative love of God, but sending out the transformative love of God from ourselves. Because God has a way that he wants you to live. He wants you to be smart. He wants you to succeed. And how many of you know you can't succeed without wisdom? You need wisdom. I think it's funny. It doesn't mean you need a college degree. It means you need a life PhD. And how many of you know what a life PhD is? God's got to pile it a little higher and a little deeper in order for us to realize that we are literally standing above it all in Christ Jesus. So from now on, when somebody asks, you tell them, I have a PhD. Life has piled it higher and deeper, and I'm standing on top of it. To the glory of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We love you. And we, Lord, may your transformative love come unto us in this coming week to give us a real understanding of what we've just read here in the book of James. And Lord, that's going to mean that some stuff's going to come at us. But Father, I'm okay with that. If we'll become a student of it and learn wisdom and gain understanding rather than being a victim and trying to cast it away, let me embrace your love. And may we grow as you teach us the newness of life that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In whose name we pray, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.